We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the PACKADAY podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. It is mock draft day, mock draft 2.0, my last one of this draft season. We are going to be doing two rounds today. Should be an absolute blast. And yes, I am going to have a board up if you're watching on YouTube, so you will be able to see me sort of go through the entire process and see it pick by pick. So hopefully you will enjoy that. I know I got a little bit of feedback last time, so we are going to fix it this time around. Real quick, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day podcast YouTube members, Brendan Carrero and Gabriel. Appreciate you guys signing up and becoming members. I've seen a lot of that lately. I appreciate it a ton, and hopefully you guys are going to enjoy this amazing draft week experience. Speaking of which, let's talk about that. We've got a really fun week lined up. Wednesday this week, I'm going to be doing the members only Q&A. So Wednesday, probably right around noon. Thursday during the day, I'm going to be doing a live draft Q&A for everyone. Thursday night's going to be the live draft stream. The entire first round, we'll cover it pick by pick, go over who's left for the Packers. When they make a selection, we'll break it down. We'll do all of that on Thursday night. Then Friday, we'll do a live day two Q&A during the day, which should be really fun. Again, that will be open to everyone. Friday night, or I should say like Friday late afternoon, happy hour time, I'm going to be over live at Badger State Brewery from 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Then Ross Uglum's going to take over live at Badger State Brewery from there. I'm going to head home, and by 6 p.m. draft start time, I'm going to start that new draft stream, and that will be Friday night. And that will be co-hosted with Maggie Loney. And you will also see appearances from Andrew Merteg of the Pack-A-Day podcast, Brennan Rupp, who's been helping on the Pack-A-Day podcast as well. But of course, you can find all of his great draft breakdowns over on Packers Wire. And then Jacob Morley, who of course did such an amazing job with the Green Bay Draft Guide and also resident Pack-A-Day podcast draft expert as well. Super looking forward to that. Maybe we'll get a couple other guests to stop by also. But either way, that will be Friday night, live stream during the draft. Saturday at some point, probably post-draft, is going to be a members Q&A as well. You never know. I might hop on live if I get bored and want to talk some Packers at some point as well. So keep an eye out for that. And I'm going to be doing a ton of live reaction videos as well. So make sure to check all of those out. It's going to be a huge week of content here at the Pack-A-Day podcast. You're not going to want to miss a single second of it. So make sure to subscribe, like, comment, give those 5-star reviews. And again, check into those Pack-A-Day podcast YouTube memberships if you have not done so already. All right, we did have Goody's press conference on Monday. I didn't think there were a ton of takeaways here. I'll go over three really quickly. One of the questions I asked him point blank was, and let me be very, very clear here. This is actually point number three here, but I'm going to skip to number three. It's lion season. It is part of Brian Gutekunst's DNA as a general manager in every general manager's job description to lie this time of year. He even said the top 30 visits do contain some form of subterfuge to sort of throw people off the scent. We've discussed that. We've gone over all the different reasons to have top 30 visits. And I literally used the word subterfuge here on the podcast, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. And he literally used that word in the Q&A or in the press conference today. So that's a part of it, right? But that's all throughout the draft process. They're sending out smoke signals and correct signals and wrong signals. They're just putting a bunch of stuff out there so that nobody can really get a sense of what Green Bay wants to do. But my question to him was, you know, how do you feel about bigger offensive linemen? There's three in this draft, you know, right around where Green Bay is picking: Tyler Guyton, Amarius Mims, JC Latham. You know, is that a positive? Is that a negative? Is that an issue when it comes to leverage? And his first answer was, all right, these guys are in play. His answer was bigger, stronger, faster. Exactly what I talked about. Like, listen, you want big, strong, fast guys. It is, you know, scouting 101, big, strong, fast. Those are the guys that you want. You want that ability. And obviously guys like all three of them, you know, Latham and Guyton and Mims, they are freak dudes where, yes, they are big, they are tall, they are wide, but they all move insanely well for their size. And that's a different breed than what usually is a player at that 6'7", 6'8", 330, 340, whatever it might be. Usually those guys don't move that well. So this is sort of a different breed of player. Usually one of two things: A, those guys just don't come along very often, or B, when they do, they're taken top 10, top 15, and you don't have an opportunity to take one of them. Green Bay is in a situation at 25 where one or two of those guys are probably on the board at pick 25. So again, his first answer, yep, bigger, faster, stronger. That's what we're looking for. But then he ended it in a very telling statement. He didn't have to continue his statement. He could have ended it just by saying, yep, bigger, faster, stronger. We like those guys, you know, and he went on about how their offense does things a little bit different, but they do a little bit of everything and, you know, kind of went on. He could have ended it there, but he added a piece on top of that. And he talked about the success that they've had with versatile athletes at the position and the versatility to play multiple positions. And that is something they value a ton and that they believe that they're going to continue to do that moving forward. That's interesting, right? It's interesting. And first of all, not anything we didn't know already. We know very much that Green Bay values versatility along the offensive line. I do think that that is not the be-all, end-all answer. They have taken Brian Bulaga, all right? Yeah, there's probably a world in which maybe Brian Bulaga could have played some. Brian Bulaga was a tackle all day, every day. They didn't pass on Brian Bulaga because he was going to be a tackle. Now, he did have left tackle and right tackle versatility, but they were not going to pass on Brian Bulaga because he was never going to be a guard or a center. He was a really good tackle, so they took a really good tackle. Derek Sherrod was a tackle all day, every day, and he did not have any versatility of playing left guard, right guard, or center. And they still took him. Now, Green Bay, whether or not Brian Gutekunst this year wants to take somebody who's got that tackle versatility, but not the interior offensive line versatility, that remains to be seen. They do have a lot of versatility on their offense, on their offensive line already, specifically with Zach Tom and Elton Jenkins. But a Graham Barton could be somebody that has a lot more of that versatility, left tackle to right tackle, left guard, right guard, center, and everything, right? That could be the case. So it was a telling, you know, sort of statement or add-on at the end of that answer from Brian Gutekunst. And it did make me do a little bit more of a double take of, all right, are they really going to consider Guyton or Mims at that 25th spot if in fact that they want that versatility? And if they don't have it, they may not take that. So that is going to be a really interesting aspect. I'll be truthful. Yes, I would love to tell you, and I'd love to be 100% right and say, this is who they're going to pick and lock it in and then be right. That would feel great. But the truth is, I don't know. And I'm really, really interested. I would love to know. I would love to know where Amarius Mims and Tyler Guyton and JC Latham are on their board. I guarantee you they're on there, whether it's in the top 15, top 25, top 40, top 50, top 100. I don't know, but I guarantee they're on there. But at what point would they consider taking them? And how much does the versatility of guys like Graham Barton and Jordan Morgan, how much does that play a factor into would they be taken ahead of some of those other guys? Kingsley Suamataea is another one. That Suamataea, by the way, talk about an interesting player. Just this, I'm going off on a huge tangent here and a huge aside. Suamataea, some really smart people in this draft process, have him as a late first, early second round prospect. Daniel Jeremiah, one of the people I respect the most through this entire process, does not have him in his top 100. So good luck figuring out where he may go. You know, so that is the beauty of this entire NFL draft process, is even the best of the best experts covering this draft are extremely divergent on certain prospects. We're seeing that at the top of the draft with some of the quarterbacks. We're seeing that with players like Kingsley Suamataea, who could go late first, could go third or fourth round. Like, that is the craziness of this freaking draft. So I'm really excited to see what Green Bay values along the offensive line. I don't think if they love one of those tackles like Guyton or Mims, that it's going to be a complete deal breaker, especially if they feel like Guyton or Mims could be right tackle or left tackle versatile. That's where I go back to Brian Bulaga and even Derek Sherrod. And those players were left tackle, right tackle versatile. They could have played either of those positions. I believe the same is true for Amarius Mims and Tyler Guyton. Is that versatile enough for Green Bay? I don't know. And that is what's going to have to sort of be decided and determined. And obviously Green Bay has their board set. We don't know what it is, but we'll see if those guys are available at pick 25. And if they take one of them, or if they move down, take a player that has more versatility, or stay away from offensive line altogether. But his comments, that added comment, he didn't have to say it, but he added it on nonetheless about versatility. Could he be lying so teams don't put him on Amarius Mims and Tyler Guyton? Maybe. It didn't feel that way, but like I said, GMs are paid to lie. That was my third one as well, that it's line season, so you have to take everything with a grain of salt. My second big takeaway from Goody was that I wholeheartedly feel like if they are going to do something in the first round, it is going to be to trade down. And he made multiple mentions of wanting more picks, not less. He, like, the first almost gut reaction, like, to everything has almost been like trading down. If we would trade down, or like, that is almost like the first thing out of his mouth. I don't know if it's a Freudian slip. I don't know if, again, he's trying to put some things out there that may not be true, but it just feels like he sort of knows that trading down might be the most likely scenario at pick 25. And the more and more that I think about this, the more that I think about pick 25, when there's not that perfect 1A guy, because we talked about Tyler Guyton yesterday, and we've talked about him on numerous occasions. He's everything that they generally look for, except maybe a little bit of that versatility, maybe a little bit taller than what they would normally go for. I don't think either of those things are necessarily, again, deal breakers, but it's not perfect. And you have the fact that he's probably a right tackle, and you've got the Zach Tom situation there. So with all of that being said, when you can't figure out and find a perfect 1A player, well, what's the most likely scenario? That they probably have a multitude of players that are in a similar range around that spot, and they can probably get a very similar graded player at pick 32, 34, 31, somewhere in that range, that they would at 25 while picking up potentially an extra third round pick in the process. And if they can do that, I think that would be a massive win for Green Bay. And I don't think there's really going to be much fall off, if any, from 25 to, let's say, 32, 31, 34, 36, whatever it might be. So if they can do that, I would be all for it. And that probably is going to be somewhere near my official prediction, is more trade down and not stick at 25. So again, three takeaways from Goody's press conference. They do extremely value that versatility on the offensive line, which we knew, but the fact he brought it up was interesting. I do believe that they're leaning maybe a little bit more towards trading down. And like I said, this is line season, so you have to take everything he said with a grain of salt. And mostly it was much ado about nothing. He said a lot without saying a lot, which is what GMs are also paid to do. But overall, it was an interesting, fun conversation, or press conference with Goody. I love those things. I could have sat there and asked him a million more questions if given the opportunity. Unfortunately, we're not. I think I got to ask three, and I didn't want to do more than that, you know, but really, really fun press conference. And just kind of seeing his brain work as he goes through some of those things, and you know, kind of what he's thinking going into the draft. All right. All that being said, let's today do our 2-round mock draft, 1 through 64. Should be a ton of fun. I've got these already broken down, but I will go through the board with you guys so you can see it live. So let's bring that in right now, hoping not to screw this up. All right, so hopefully you guys are going to be able to see everything. I've got the wrong one up here. There we go. I think that's going to be a little bit better so that you guys can see everything. So Chicago Bears are on the clock. Number one overall, they are taking Caleb Williams. I don't think we need to do any breaking down of this. It's a massive pick for Chicago. He's a franchise-altering quarterback. Will the Bears screw it up? That's going to be the question mark, but he has all the talent in the world. Number two, Washington Commanders are going to take Jaden Daniels out of LSU. there's still a little bit of belief and buzz that maybe, just maybe, this could be a Drake May type selection. It doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. It seems to be leaning Jaden Daniels, and right now I am leaning in that direction as well. All right, so at pick three, we have our first trade here. We are going to send the Minnesota Vikings pick 11, pick 23, a future first and a future third to the New England Patriots for pick three. We are going to send that through. The Vikings are going to get on the clock. They are going to draft Drake May, quarterback out of North Carolina. Remember here that the Vikings, here's my thinking here. The tough part for New England is I think you have competing interests. I think Elliott Wolf wants to trade down and get a massive amount of draft picks. I think that would be his dad's way of doing things. I think that's the way he's kind of been brought up. I think he wants to get a lion's share of picks, probably knowing that his team's not necessarily ready for a rookie quarterback, and he needs to probably build a little bit more of a foundation there first. But we'll get to more on that in just a second. I think the competing interest is, I think the Krafts, especially the owner, Robert Kraft, is in a situation where he's 80 plus years old. How much time does he have to draft and develop here? He might want a quarterback sooner rather than later so that they can kick this thing off a little bit sooner so he can actually see this through to fruition and not set a foundation for 2 or 3 years before they get that quarterback in place. But I think Elliott Wolf wins out for now. They are able to trade down, again, get all of those extra picks, the 11 and 23, a future first and a future third. Meanwhile, Minnesota, they didn't trade up for 23 by accident. They didn't hire Josh McCown, Drake May's quarterback's coach, by accident. I believe that they are gearing up to go get Drake May. I believe he's their guy, and I think they're going to do everything in their power to go get him. I also think that New England might like JJ McCarthy a little bit more than Drake May. So we're going to go over that in just a moment here, but the Vikings get their guy. Drake May and Caleb Williams enter the division at picks 1 and 3, respectively. Minnesota has to give up a pretty decent haul, 3 first-round picks and a 3rd-round pick to move up that high, but they get Drake May, and he is their future at quarterback. Meanwhile, at number 4, Arizona Cardinals select Marvin Harrison Jr. To start rounding out their roster around Kyler Murray. They need some weapons, and Marvin Harrison Jr. certainly gives them that. Hey friends, are you ready for the Bucks playoffs? Are you ready for a little Dame time? Even if you're not, you're probably ready for the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, or any of your favorite baseball teams kicking off their 2024 campaign. With all of this amazing action going on, there's never been a better time to get in on the excitement of Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your sports knowledge into some serious cash. Right now, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball entries on Prize Picks. Friends, I can't even begin to explain to you how much I'm enjoying my Prize Picks experience. It's so easy to play, and their user-friendly interface and enormous, and I mean enormous, selection of players and stat types make it a beautifully unique experience every single time I log in. Last week, LeBron James came up huge for me, and this week I'm looking to keep the momentum going, relying on Luka Doncic and Connor McDavid. And guess what? Even if Doncic or McDavid get hurt, Prize Picks offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. So what are you waiting for? Now is the time to get in on the excitement with Prize Picks. So download that app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. If you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently, I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, GameTime takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through GameTime. My experience with GameTime has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of Game Time is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets, and save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app,
Create an account and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
All right, at pick five, now is when we see a little bit of craziness. The New England Patriots are going to trade right back up, giving 11 and 23 that they just got and that future third round pick for Minnesota for pick five. And we are going to accept that trade. And what we're going to do here is New England is now going to take JJ McCarthy. So what New England was able to do here is New England was able to go down two spots to go from pick three to pick five, still get the quarterback that they wanted, and get a future first round pick from Minnesota in the process. Meanwhile, the Chargers get two first round picks this year for, you know, pick five. So they only move down six spots to pick 11. They pick up pick 23 in the process and a future third for Minnesota. So this really is a way to almost benefit everyone. Now, Arizona gets skipped a little bit and they don't get sort of all of the extra picks and things like that, but they do get the top wide receiver and a lot of people's top player in the draft at pick four. And it does seem like maybe they have a little bit more of a propensity to stay. Meanwhile, New England might have a little bit of a feel like they need to jump New York just in case. And they don't know if, you know, maybe Denver or the Raiders are going to come up and try to grab a quarterback. So again, New England goes down only two spots. They pick up a future first round pick and get the quarterback they want. It's a win for New England. It's a win for Minnesota that they get their guy in Drake May. And it's a win for the Chargers because they get, you know, just moving down five spots, they pick up another first round pick this year and a third next year. It's hard to find a loser in that entire scenario. All right, number six, New York Giants on the clock. And we are going with Malik Nabers here. They have to be able to put, if they have any belief that Daniel Jones can lead them, they have to put some better wide receivers around him and see if he can be the guy. Listen, this would also be a massively speedy wide receiver group with Malik Nabers, Jalen Hyatt, and Slayton on the outside. Like that would be an unreal group of just super fast wide receivers that could give Daniel Jones the ability to maybe hit these guys in short and intermediate routes and have them do a lot of the heavy lifting. They also got Wandale Robinson there. Right now, the wide receiver group is not good enough, but adding in my opinion, the top wide receiver in this draft would go a long way into giving Daniel Jones that puncher's chance if they do have any hope of making him into that franchise quarterback in New York. Number seven, the much talked about Joe Alt to the Titans here makes all the sense in the world. Listen, they're doing everything they can to support Will Levis. And right now they've got Nicholas Petit-Frere at left tackle. I think this would be a massive upgrade. And they've done a ton to get Will Levis some weapons. This gets him his blindside protector in Joe Alt, hopefully for the foreseeable future if Alt is as advertised. The Atlanta Falcons at pick eight are going to take, if we can find him here, Dallas Turner, edge rusher. Listen, they don't have great edge rushers. It's Arnold Ebiketie and Lorenzo Carter. They need some help. They've got Grady Jarrett on the inside. He's not getting any younger. Could they take maybe, you know, Byron Murphy here? Sure. That would be within the realm of possibility, but they really need edge rush. I think he would be perfect on that fast track in Atlanta. We're going Dallas Turner at pick eight. Number nine, I hate to see this one too, teaming with Caleb Williams, two of my favorite players in the draft, Rome Odunze, pick nine, Chicago Bears. Not only do they go get Keenan Allen, not only do they already have DJ Moore, they get Gerald Everett, they got Cole Kmet, they go get DeAndre Swift. Now they get Rome Odunze. They are putting weapons right away around first overall pick Caleb Williams and doing everything in their power to make sure that he has the weapons right away to succeed. Pick 10, we are going Brock Bowers. Now, insert year will Aaron Rodgers throw over the middle jokes here, but they don't have a great tight end. They've obviously got Conklin, who's a good, solid tight end. They've got the wide receivers. They've got the running backs. They've really done everything to try to improve that offensive line. Now, can they get that one last piece? You know, Aaron is not going to be too upset about getting a big-time weapon at tight end. They take Bowers. I'm sure Rodgers would be happy with that and give them an extra weapon on offense this upcoming season. All right, pick 11. This is where the Chargers traded back with Minnesota, and we are going to get them an offensive lineman. Olu Fashanu, Jim Harbaugh coached in the Big Ten. He's going to know Fashanu extremely well. I think he's got left tackle and right tackle versatility. And here he would play at right tackle. They've got Trey Pipkins at right tackle right now. This would be an immediate upgrade. And we know what type of football Harbaugh wants to play. Getting Fashanu there at right tackle, I think, would be a big time player for Harbaugh at right tackle. And again, give somebody for Justin Herbert to protect his right side. And we know they've got Slater at left tackle. Give them really good bookend tackles for the foreseeable future. All right, pick 12. We've got another trade here. We are going to trade with the LA Rams at pick 19. And in return, we're going to do 19 for 12 and 70. Actually, make sure I got this right here. 12 for 19 and 52. That's what we're doing. So the Rams get pick 12. The Broncos get pick 19 and a second round pick, pick 52 overall. We are going to complete that trade. And then the Rams at pick 12 are going to take Byron Murphy the second, their Aaron Donald replacement. I don't think we need to say anything more. They lost Aaron freaking Donald, and that is a massive loss. Go get the best three technique. The most similar player you can possibly get. Is he Aaron Donald? Nope. Is anyone ever going to be? Nope. But at least get the next best version that is in this draft. That is Byron Murphy, and he will go a long way into trying as best they can to fill that huge hole vacated by Aaron Donald. Pick 13, we've got another trade here. We are going to trade back with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we are going from 17 to 13. And in doing so, we're going to give up a third round pick, pick 96. So 17 and 96 to get up to 13. We are going to complete that trade. And Jacksonville is going to take Quinion Mitchell at 13 overall. Now here, they've got Ronald Darby as one of their starters right now. That's just not good enough. They need to upgrade that position. And they know probably picking at 17 right now that the Colts are going to be extremely interested. Now, not just that the Colts are interested, but the Colts, a team in their division, probably extremely interested in Quinion Mitchell. They jump up ahead of the Colts by two spots, take their guy there, make sure he doesn't end up in Indianapolis, and make sure they get their guy at pick 13. Pick 14, New Orleans Saints. We're taking Talisi Fuaga. And the great thing about Fuaga here is they don't know if Ryan Ramczyk is going to be able to play this season. He's got some major injury concerns. They get him at right tackle. And in doing so, even if Ramczyk does play, well, then they could easily kick Fuaga to a left guard or a right guard. That left guard spot would be one that makes sense. James Hurst is there right now. He's not very good. So if in a best case scenario, Ramczyk plays, Fuaga goes to left guard and they have a massive upgrade. But if Ramczyk can't play, now Fuaga can kick out to right tackle and play what I think will be a very natural position for him on that right side. Indianapolis Colts, they did not get Quinion Mitchell, but they will take Terrion Arnold instead. They really need a corner. I actually really like Dallas Flowers, who I thought was coming in to his own a little bit as an outside corner, former undrafted guy, big time return specialist, but he had a major injury a season ago. And instead, you know, of him taking that next step and, you know, continuing to progress, he was out all of last year. So instead they go get Terrion Arnold. They let Flowers work his way back, maybe a little bit slower and not rush him back in any way, but they need an upgrade there. And Terrion Arnold makes a ton of sense. At pick 16, the Seattle Seahawks, we are going with Jared Verse, the defensive end slash edge rusher. Seattle needs some upgraded edge rushers and pass rushers and just building a better rotation there. Right now they have Boye Mafe and Uchenna Nwosu. Nice players, but they could use a big-time pass rusher. Jared Verse should give them that, one of my favorite players in this draft. All right, at pick 17, we've got the Las Vegas Raiders, and this might be a little bit controversial, but this is why the Raiders moved back. They were able to pick up some extra draft capital by moving back. They ultimately got an extra third-round pick, but they need a quarterback. And listen, maybe they like Aiden O'Connell a little bit more. Maybe Michael Penix is not the answer. I do feel like he's a pretty decent fit with the Raiders. I do like Michael Penix quite a bit. This might be overly aggressive. They maybe don't have to take him this high, but they need their quarterback. You don't know when he's going to go. There's been some buzz that he might be going earlier than people expect. We're going to take him here at pick 17 for the Raiders. Pick 18, the Cincinnati Bengals. They are going to take J.C. Latham. Now, this is an interesting pick. They have two mammoth offensive linemen already in Cincinnati. Obviously, what they have right now are Orlando Brown and Trent Brown at left tackle and right tackle, respectively. Here's the thing. Latham can kick inside to guard for the time being. And if there's an injury to one of the Browns, he can easily kick outside. But they are going to have this behemoth offensive line with the two Browns on the outside, Latham on the inside. Those are massive, massive dudes and should give all the protection in the world that is desperately, desperately been needed, you know, at quarterback for them with Joe Burrow. So I really like the Latham pick here. I think he has a lot of versatility, and just keep protecting Joe Burrow because he is the franchise and clearly has had some injury issues because of the lack of protection on the offensive line. Latham gives him a big time player to add to that line, both literally and physically. All right. Denver Broncos up at pick 19. This is another one where, hey, maybe they don't have to take him this early, especially with all sort of the quarterback needy teams already taking a quarterback. But there's been some whispers of the LA Rams maybe wanting a quarterback. There's been some other teams that have veteran quarterbacks, the Atlanta Falcons. So you just never know what team might be lurking. The Giants could potentially take someone at some point. So the Denver Broncos, they moved down in the draft. And by doing so, they already picked up that additional second round pick. And now they have the ability to take their quarterback here and still pick up that second rounder. So they're going to take Bo Nix at pick 19. Again, probably a little bit over aggressive, but these teams need to get their quarterbacks or they're just in complete no man's land. Bo Nix, 19 to the Denver Broncos. All right, 20, Pittsburgh Steelers are going to take Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. Brian Thomas Jr.'s comp is so perfectly Martavis Bryant, the former Pittsburgh Steeler, without a lot of the off-field issues and concerns. And he is a perfect fit within that Steelers offense. You talk about a deep ball thrower in Russell Wilson. Brian Thomas will give him a deep ball threat on the outside. We'll see if Wilson can get back to form a little bit. They traded away Deontay Johnson. I think this pick makes all the sense in the world for the Steelers. All right, we've got pick 21 with the Miami Dolphins, and they're going with Leatu Leatu. And listen, they have good edge rushers already, but they can always use more of a rotation. Remember, they lost Andrew Van Ginkle to the Minnesota Vikings. And just making sure they had a lot of injury issues at that edge position a season ago, and their team, and specifically their defense, just fell apart. Leatu is too valuable of a player at this point in the draft. Yes, he's had some injury issues. So of all their other edge rushers, just have two of those guys be healthy, and Miami should be in a much better situation. Also, not to mention, we know Miami's offense is going to put up points. So get some dynamic pass rushers on that defense and make sure that your defense can get off the field. And when you do get in those arms races, you've got the pass rushers to shut down the opposing team. Excuse me. Pick 22, we have an interdivision trade. We are going to trade with the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, these things do happen now. We've seen Detroit and Minnesota when Green Bay moved up for Christian Watson. That was the Vikings involved. So these things happen. We are going to switch 24 and 22, just a couple spots. And in doing so, the Eagles are going to pick up a future fourth round pick so that the Cowboys can get the guy that they want here. And at pick 22, the Dallas Cowboys are going to select Troy Fatanu, offensive lineman out of Washington. The beautiful thing about Fatanu here for the Cowboys is they have Tyler Smith, who's been playing left guard. They're thinking that they're going to have to kick him to left tackle. The thinking with Fatanu is anyone would love him to be a left tackle, but he might have to be a left guard. So you can just have Tyler Smith and Troy Fatanu work together, figure out who's the better left tackle, figure out who's the better left guard, and maybe switch back and forth for a little bit until you figure that out. But both of them have the versatility. One of them can start at left tackle. One can start at left guard. Figure out which combo is best and move forward from there. But it really kind of gives them a lot of options and versatility on that left-hand side. All right, the Los Angeles Chargers are back on the clock at pick 23. Remember, they got this pick in the trade from moving down from 5 to 11 and 23, picked up a future third round pick in the process as well. And they take Cooper DeJean at pick 23, another Big Ten player that Jim Harbaugh is going to be super familiar with. They've got Christian Fulton and Jasir Taylor at corners, outside corners Fulton. That would be a massive upgrade going from Fulton to DeJean. They've got the slot corner, Jasir Taylor, where I think DeJean would be an upgrade there. Alohi Gilman, they just gave a contract to. I like Alohi Gilman, but Derwin James and Cooper DeJean at safety together, there's a lot that would be really enticing about that as well. Either way, they should have options, and DeJean makes all the sense in the world for the Chargers at pick 23. Pick 24, remember the Eagles just moved back two spots. The Cowboys got Fatanu. The Eagles move back. They get that future fourth round pick in the trade, and they take Graham Barton. Remember, the Eagles just lost Jason Kelce as their starting center. They go out and get the best center in this draft. Yes, Barton has versatility. A lot of people see him as a center, but if you are comparing between Jackson Powers Johnson and Frazier and Barton, most teams have Barton as their top interior offensive lineman. Plus, he has that versatility, so they get Barton to replace Jason Kelce at pick 24.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Pick 25, we have another trade. I did the same trade here with the Kansas City last time. I'm going to do it again this time because I think it makes sense for both teams. 32 and 95 for pick 25. They're also picking up 221, the first pick in the seventh round in this trade. So Green Bay gets 32, 95 in the first pick in the seventh round for pick 25. We are going to complete that trade. And the Kansas City Chiefs are going to take the big offensive tackle, Amarius Mims. They could easily use an upgrade. They've got Wanya Morris and Lucas Niang potentially starting at left tackle. They do have Juwan Taylor who could probably play either side, but they need a upgrade at that left tackle spot. They're going to go with Amarius Mims to start at that left tackle position for KC and give them some options moving forward. 26, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We are going here with Penn State edge rusher, Chop Robinson. Listen, they've got a pair of decent edge rushers on the outside in Tryon Shoyanka and Yaya Diaby. I like both of those guys, but I think they could use a little bit more juice with a Chop Robinson. We know, you know, how ultra aggressive that defense likes to be. And I think Chop Robinson is going to give them a different flavor of pass rusher. They've got Vita Vea inside. They've got some players that can play big time football along that defensive line, but Chop Robinson's going to be that guy that can win with explosiveness, with speed, and just with beautiful pass rush off the edge. And I think that's going to be something that is just, a different flavor from what they have right now and should give that defense a ton of pass rush options along that defensive line. 27, Arizona Cardinals. We are going with Nate Wiggins here, corner from Clemson. Love Nate Wiggins. His run defense needs a lot of work, but they have an extremely open starting corner spot. I think Wiggins could be that guy. They already got their wide receiver earlier. Now they're going to need a secondary player again with a gaping hole at that starting corner spot. They get it in Nate Wiggins. All right, 28 overall, Buffalo Bills, Adonai Mitchell. He's your Stephon Diggs replacement. I don't need to even say anything more than that. He is a Stephon Diggs type player, and they get the Stephon Diggs type player in replacement at pick 28 to take his spot. 29, Detroit Lions. We are going here, and I think this one is down a little bit. Sorry for the wait. We're going with Darius Robinson, defensive end slash edge rusher slash defensive tackle slash do it all along the defensive line. They get him at pick 29. He's a very Detroit Lions type. He can help on the edge. He can help on the interior. and just give Aiden Hutchinson a little bit more help. He could use it. And that Detroit Lions defense, their pass defense has been an issue. They keep trying to fix that secondary, get in a little bit more pass rush. We'll fix that secondary in a major way. And they get it with Darius Robinson. Pick 30. We have another trade. We are trading here with the Washington Commanders, going from 30 to 36. And in the process, picking up pick 100 from the Commanders. We are doing that trade. And with pick 30, the Washington Commanders are taking everyone's favorite player off the board so that Green Bay can't get him. And a lot of people will be very excited about that. They're getting Tyler Guyton. They need some offensive tackle play. They already got Jaden Daniels. Now they get Guyton to help protect him. And it makes, again, a ton of sense here for Washington to upgrade that offensive line to give Daniels a chance to be able to be successful with an offensive line that can play better in front of him. Pick 31, going a little bit off the board here for the 49ers. We are going with Ricky Pearsall. I know a lot of people maybe think Ladd McConkey would be this beautiful fit in San Francisco. I agree, but McConkey's going to be a slot guy. Pearsall can also be a slot guy, but he can also play outside. And it's possible that they might need some Brandon Ayuk insurance just in case something happens where they can't work out a deal and they end up having to trade him. So I like Pearsall. I think he's a beautiful fit in San Francisco, which I don't necessarily like as a Packer fan, but I do think he gives them that outside wide receiver and slot wide receiver versatility, gives them some options just in case they do have to trade away Ayuk. And if not, you've got Ayuk, Debo, and Pearsall, which should be a beautiful trio along with George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk, the whole crew, Christian McCaffrey. It's a really good group, and they just get stronger with the addition of Pearsall. At pick 32, the Green Bay Packers select Jordan Morgan, offensive lineman out of Arizona. I talked about this before. I'm not a Jordan Morgan guy. It's one of my least favorite options for Green Bay. But as I talked about yesterday, this is not what I would do. I don't have the GM cap. This is me trying to predict here what Green Bay would do. And Goody just talked about it. Versatility. The only thing that Jordan Morgan really doesn't have is the long arms. He's a little bit on the short side with arms, but if he kicks inside to guard, that is not as big of an issue. But I think they still give him that opportunity. And we just talked about it, how much Green Bay loves versatility. He has left tackle, left guard, right tackle versatility, in my opinion. Can compete with Rashid Walker at left tackle, can compete at right guard. Certainly, I think with Sean Ryan, if you feel like Elgton Jenkins or Zach Tom are better options at center, he could potentially play right tackle for Zach Tom. He could theoretically play left guard for Elgton Jenkins. And then you have one of those guys kick inside and play center for Josh Meyer. So in a way, it puts everyone on notice except for Zach Tom and Elgton Jenkins. And it provides them a lot of versatility and depth that they currently don't have, at least from a depth standpoint on the roster. All right, we're going to go through the second round, lightning round here. With pick 33, the Carolina Panthers take Ladd McConkey, wide receiver out of Georgia. Pick 34, the New England Patriots select Patrick Paul, the offensive tackle out of Houston. With pick 35, the Arizona Cardinals select Jackson Powers Johnson, center out of Oregon. Pick 36, the Ravens trade back and in ultimate Ravens fashion, still get a massively talented player in Kool-Aid McKinstry. A lot of people that expected to go round one, Baltimore somehow trades down, still gets a big time Alabama corner at pick 36. This is just how things go for the Baltimore Ravens in the draft. Pick 37, the Los Angeles Chargers, they need to replace a wide receiver. So they are going to get Xavier Leggett, wide receiver out of South Carolina to replace Mike Williams. Pick 38, the Tennessee Titans select Tyler Newbin at safety. They need a starting safety. Pick 39, Carolina Panthers select Marshawn Kneeland, edge rusher out of Western Michigan. Pick 40, the Washington Commanders select Malachi Corley, wide receiver out of Western Kentucky. Pick 41, your Green Bay Packers. I didn't want to do this because it just feels very, very chalky, and what everyone's been talking about wasn't necessarily my plan. But it just worked out this way once again. Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker out of Texas A&M, your immediate starter next to Quay Walker. They're sort of the Bash brothers there with what they're able to do. A lot of similarities between their play. Goody talked about that's what they want. They want that versatility. They want the ability to do everything. Cooper's going to come in. He's going to make an impact. He's going to be able to do a lot of things. He needs to take on blocks better, just like Quay does. But based on Goody's definition of what he's looking for, it's a very Edgerrin Cooper type player. Pick 42, the Texans, like the Ravens, get a massive steal here with Jerzon Newton going 42 overall. I believe Newton should be a first rounder all day, every day, but there has been a lot of talk about him going in the second round. I would think if he does, he goes early second round. But in this scenario, we know somebody always falls, right? And it's always unexpected. We never know who it's going to be. In this case, it happens to be Jerzon Newton, 42 to the Texans with their first pick in the draft. 43, the Atlanta Falcons, having taken Dallas Turner earlier, go and get Ennis Rakestraw, corner out of Missouri. Pick 44, the Las Vegas Raiders select out of the University of Michigan defensive tackle Chris Jenkins, tag teaming him with their new defensive tackle Christian Wilkins. Pick 45, the New Orleans Saints select Keon Coleman at wide receiver. Pick 46, the Indianapolis Colts select Peyton Wilson, linebacker out of North Carolina State or NC State. New York Giants at pick 47 select Max Melton, the corner out of Rutgers. Pick 48, Jacksonville selects Zach Frazier, center out of West Virginia. 49, Cincinnati selects Michael Hall, defensive tackle or interior defensive lineman out of Ohio State, staying in the state there. Pick 50, the Philadelphia Eagles select linebacker out of Michigan, Junior Colson. Very Philadelphia Eagles type pick there. 51, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Kingsley Suamataea, gives them some versatility along the offensive line. Pick 52, the Denver Broncos select Javon Bullard, safety out of Georgia. 53, the Eagles back on the clock select Rook Ahuro, defensive lineman out of Clemson, gives them a lot of versatility and depth along that defensive line. Cleveland Browns keep the defensive tackle spot going with Braden Fiske. 55, Miami Dolphins. Isn't this just the most fitting player in the entire draft? They get Xavier Worthy, the ultra-fast wide receiver. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if the NFL lets this happen and they have that entire trio of wide receivers and Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Xavier Worthy? Man, just look the heck out. It's not even remotely fair. But they somehow get Xavier Worthy here at pick 55. 56, the Dallas Cowboys. This maybe just feels a little bit too obvious and realistic and everything else, but they get Jonathan Brooks. The Texas running back stays in Texas. Dallas desperately needs another running back. They get it in Jonathan Brooks. 57, Tampa Bay gets another huge steal, in my opinion. They get Christian Haynes, guard out of UConn. 58, the Packers are back on the clock. I'm going to say this one more time. I did not want to do this. This is super chalk. This is what sort of everyone's been talking about here. And again, I did not want to keep doing it, but it just makes too much sense. Jaden Hicks, safety out of Washington State. So they get Jordan Morgan at the end of the first round. They then get Edgerrin Cooper at pick 41, and then they come back at 58 and get Jaden Hicks, the safety. They hit some needs. They hit a lot of athletic thresholds. They hit really kind of everything they want. Depth at the offensive line, the big-time linebacker, the big-time safety would be a big-time draft for Green Bay. All right, pick 59, Houston Texans get Mike Sanristel, corner from Michigan. Pick 60 is going to be the Buffalo Bills. They are going to get Chris Braswell, edge rusher out of Alabama. Lions are on the clock at pick 61. They're going to get Jalen Polk, wide receiver out of Washington. 62, Baltimore Ravens are going to get Cooper Beebe, guard out of Kansas State. Remember, they lost their starting left guard. Right now, Andrew Voorhees is starting there, so or at least could theoretically start there. I think that'd be a big upgrade for Baltimore. 63, San Francisco 49ers get TJ Tampa, the corner out of Iowa State. And to wrap things up, the Kansas City Chiefs take Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon, with some Rashee Rice insurance. All right, so here was our entire draft. Caleb Williams, number one overall to the Chicago Bears. We then had Jaden Daniels to the Commanders, Drake May to the Vikings in a trade, Marvin Harrison to the Cardinals, J.J. McCarthy to the Patriots in a trade, Malik Nabers to the Giants, Joe Alt to the Titans, Dallas Turner to Atlanta, Roma Dunze to the Bears, Brock Bowers to the Jets, Olu Fashanu to the Chargers trading back, Byron Murphy to the Rams trading up, Quinyon Mitchell to Jacksonville trading up, Talese Fuaga to the Saints, Terry Arnold to the Colts, Jared Verse to the Seahawks, Michael Penix to the Raiders after moving down, J.C. Latham to the Bengals, Bo Nix to the Broncos after moving down, Brian Thomas Jr. to the Steelers, Leatu Letu to the Dolphins, Troy Fatanu to the Cowboys after moving up two spots, Cooper DeJean to the Chargers in that second pick that they got in the trade for moving down, Graham Barton to the Eagles after moving down two spots, Amarius Mims to the Chiefs after moving up to Green Bay's pick 25, Chop Robinson to the Bucks, Nate Wiggins to the Cardinals, Adonai Mitchell to the Bills, Darius Robinson to the Lions, Tyler Guyton to the Commanders after trading up, Ricky Pearsall to the 49ers, Jordan Morgan to the Packers after trading back, Ladd McConkey to the Panthers, Patrick Paul to the Patriots, Jackson Powers Johnson to the Cardinals, Khalid McKinstry to the Ravens after moving back, Xavier Leggett to the Chargers, Tyler Newbin to the Titans, Marshawn Nealon to the Panthers, Malachi Corley to the Commanders, Edgerrin Cooper to the Packers, Johnny Newton to the Texans, Ennis Rakestraw to the Falcons, Chris Jenkins to the Raiders, Keon Coleman to the Saints, Peyton Wilson to the Colts, Max Melton to the Giants, Zach Frazier to Jacksonville, Michael Hull to Cincinnati, Junior Colson to the Eagles, Kingsley Suamataea to the Steelers, Javon Bullard. I was actually going to have the Packers take Bullard, but he ended up going ahead of the Packers here at pick 52 to Denver. Rook Arorho to the Eagles at 53, Braden Fisk to the Browns at 54, Xavier Worthy to the Dolphins at 55, Jonathan Brooks to the Cowboys, Christian Haynes to the Buccaneers, Jaden Hicks to the Packers, Mike Sanristel to the Texans, Chris Braswell to the Bills, Jalen Polk to the Lions, Cooper Beebe to the Ravens, TJ Tampa to the 49ers, and Troy Franklin to the Kansas City Chiefs. Packers, again, get Jordan Morgan at the end of round one, Edgerrin Cooper with their first pick in round two, Jaden Hicks with their second pick in round two, and pick up an extra third round pick in the process. Drag my draft in the comments below if you will like. If you liked it, then let me know. If you didn't, let me know. What would you have done given this scenario? Would love to hear that as well. We are getting closer and closer. Tomorrow is going to be one of my favorite episodes. I'm going to be going over the 25 players that are most likely to be selected by the Green Bay Packers through the entirety of the draft, not round one particularly, but all throughout the draft. Who are the 25 most likely Green Bay Packers in this draft? We'll hit up that tomorrow. Then it's going to be draft day. Round one, cannot freaking wait. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All Pro members. Of course, we have got most hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broaddad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, and Alex Huang. Sorry if things were a little bit jumping around here, trying to make everything so that I could get everything on the screen the right way. Was a little bit different than usual, but hopefully everything came across all right. Can't wait to talk with you guys again tomorrow. Again, make sure to subscribe, like, comment, check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships. I'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.
Happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.